Well, welcome to the Road Safety Podcast. This is a podcast that helps share how to manage the risks associated with driving and riding for work with me, Dr. Karen McDonnell, Occupational Health and Safety Policy Advisor at RoSPA. This how-to podcast series is part of the work of the Scottish Occupational Road Safety Alliance project, funded by Transport Scotland and delivered by RoSPA, that contribute to Scotland's Road Safety Framework to 2030. Evidence shows that speed, seatbelts, distraction, fatigue, drink-drug driving and driver health remain key issues for people and organisations. This how-to series provides insights into how one organisation has tackled these issues and the lessons learned. And today's episode is all about drink and drug driving, its impact on people and their families, and where it fits within an overall strategy for managing driving risk. Today I'm joined by Fiona O'Donnell, Global Health and Safety Strategy Lead at Jacobs, passionate about getting road safety right. Drink drug driving ruins lives. It impacts on drivers' judgment and results in decisions that kill and seriously injure too many people on Scotland's roads and roads around the world. Drink drive limit in Scotland is low and it's easier than people think to be over the limit the next day. And drivers are six times more likely to die in a crash when over the limit. It's illegal to take drugs and drive in Scotland. This includes prescription and over-the-counter drugs that you're not meant to use whilst driving. They affect awareness, judgment and reaction times. Fiona, in your experience, how can an employer manage drink-drug driving within an overall strategy for managing driving risk?
Thanks, Karen. It's a great question. And I think this one is one where employers need to be very clear and very direct on what the policy is. It can take some time to pull one together because there's lots of, you know, there's legal, there's HR, there's employer regulations that you have to, and employee regulations that you have to comply with. But having a very robust and stringent policy around this is vital, and it's the starting point. The second piece to that is making sure that that policy is communicated with your staff so that you've set the right expectation around this. There's lots of different elements to this. There's post accident testing, there's pre-work testing, there's random testing, and you have to make sure that whatever process you have and procedure you have in place for managing this is robust enough to take into account any safety critical work that you're doing, which for work in many instances would be.
I think the emphasis there on driving being a safety critical task is sometimes lost within health and safety and road safety world. You know, that whole connection between the person and the vehicle on the roads that they're driving on, you know, it is indeed a safety critical task. And it is a task that when you get it right, can and does save lives. So having that overall strategic approach to managing drink drug driving is fundamentally important. Have you encountered any situations where it's been suspected that drivers may be under the influence of drink or drugs? And how is that situation managed?
Not directly. However, your wellbeing strategy needs to take into account how you manage. And again, this is lots of different stakeholders need to work together on this, right? Because there's a crossover here between risk management and HR and how we manage people and how we manage situations. I mean, I suppose if it was years ago when you suspected somebody was under the influence while at work, they would have been just dismissed, right? But we can't do that now, and we shouldn't do that now, because we need to, as an organisation, understand the factors that led to that, person coming into work under the influence of drink or drugs, and provide a kind of a more holistic approach to how we manage these situations. I think something that's creeping in is a relatively new area, and I think it's a very worrying one, is the whole area of prescription medication and the influence that that can have on somebody's ability to make a sound decision. Now, if you put that in the context of somebody getting into a car, it's a very serious and grave situation, because a lot of prescription medication can make you drowsy, as we all know. And again, our policies within our organisations need to reflect the use of prescription medication. And that leads into a whole different conversation about the culture that you have in your organization and whether people actually feel like they have a safe space to come and speak to their employer about some of these issues that they might be having.
The Road Safety Podcast is brought to you by the Scottish Occupational Road Safety Alliance and funded by Transport Scotland. For further information, visit our website, www.scorsa.org.uk. So that takes me on perfectly to a question from a driver's perspective, you know, whereby they've been prescribed medication for a pre-existing health condition. So how best to keep their employer up to date? So the employer's aware of the pre-existing health condition and there is this multidisciplinary team approach. But how best to have that conversation and share with their employer?
Obviously, like, you know, we have a legal responsibility to manage work-related road risk and we have a moral responsibility, but like we have a duty of care to actually care for our staff. So it really is incumbent on organizations to manage these situations insofar as if somebody's doing a task and you've employed them to do a task and it involves safety critical work and that's going to be impacted by the use of prescription medication, then the employer has to manage that. And it's no longer good enough to say, well, they can't do that job, so they can't work for us. There's, you know, there's laws now to keep people's employment safe. And we need to be realistic about it as well. There are employers out there that just don't get this and won't get this. And you know, that steep hill just keeps getting steeper in terms of managing this risk. But for those organisations out there that genuinely want to do the right thing, this is about managing and controlling that risk, but also managing and controlling the situation and making sure that line managers have the skills to have conversations with people, the right conversations in the right way. Because if you've got a pre-existing health condition, you know, there's bound to be a psychological impact associated with that. And then if you're being prescribed medication, again, there's bound to be a psychological impact. So you've got to think about putting a person into a car and the impact of all those external factors on their ability to make a decision once they sit behind that wheel. And as an employer, we have a responsibility to manage that.
I think there's that whole piece about recognising that getting driving for work is of added value to employers. So there is that whole piece about having the right conversation at the right time about what type of medication it is, whether perhaps there are any side effects that may lead to drowsiness, perhaps going back to ask for a change of medication that's got maybe a different impact in terms of side effects, you know, just to keep that, recognising that recruiting skilled drivers, you know, they are pretty much at a premium, you know, so we want to be looking at ways of keeping them within our organisation and supporting them to move forward. A slightly different tack, you know, in terms of if a driver is convicted of drink driving, the short and long term implications from your perspective, what's this hard and fast line that Jacobs would take here and what implications would that have for not only the person, but also for the organisation?
So there needs to be understanding, right? First and foremost, there needs to be understanding. I don't think any of this stuff is black and white anymore. It obviously, if they're convicted, it you know, really does depend on the penalty. If the license is revoked, then, you know, there's a conversation to be had there. They just simply can't drive because they don't have a license to drive. If they've got penalty points, you know, again, there's no one size fits all here. This is about understanding the person and understanding the challenges and having that conversation with them between the person, their manager and HR.
And it is a person-centred approach because we are talking about individual drivers here. So it is it's a very complex subject and we've just taken a step into it today. But I think we've provided a pretty clear overview of the opportunities that there are from an employer perspective to build a strategic approach to managing the risk and then to have that conversation, as lots of our colleagues in OSH World say, you know, one conversation at a time certainly does change lives. So I'm hoping that we've given insights there that can help organisations take that one conversation at a time in relation to drink drug driving. My thanks to Fiona O'Donnell, and thanks to you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your usual podcast provider so you don't miss an episode. And we'd love it if you could leave a review. It really does make the podcast easier for others to find. The Road Safety Podcast is produced by Fresh Air Production. I'm Karen McDonnell, and thanks for listening.